Yes. Ready? Okay. Call our meeting back to order. All members present, Mr. Paulson.
Hello.
Mr. Finley. And the next thing is our paying for sick leave. Anybody got discussion they want to start with?
I would.
Okay.
I'm just going to throw it out there.
Throw it out.
I personally don't like, so hear me through, the idea of us compensating for sick leave. And I wasn't sure why, but let me just tell you where I'm coming from. Currently, we don't have a value system set up on sick leave. It's there's no cash value. My concern is if we start showing a cash value at some point, it'll be harder to change any policies in the future. But what I'd also like to think is what we're trying to do is reward employees that have been here X amount of years or just reward employees. And sick or not sick, if they put the time in, is really what I'm thinking. And we've adjusted sick balances over the years anyway, so is it really fair? Is it really not fair? What I'd like to propose to you guys is a retirement program based off of tenure. Basically, how many years they've been here, we give them X amount of dollars per year, and that's a retirement policy, and basically of appreciation. It's not uncommon for other businesses to do it that way. My concern is, you know, we talked about even yesterday, even a couple of days ago, that we maybe, you know, PTO has been discussed. Lynette showed me a sample policy, so PTO may change what we know as sick time anyway, so why start a policy that I think will change anyway? So what I'd like to do is talk about a policy that would pay an employee when they decide to leave the county X amount of dollars per year of completed service, if that makes sense. Keeping it as simple as possible. What's your original initial thought?
My first thought is we got two retirement programs already. We got SERF and loggers.
Correct, but that's through a pay-in process. This is just an appreciation of years of service.
It would have to be structured more of a supplemental rather than an appreciation bonus type situation.
Not appreciate, right. I'd also just want to throw something out. Also, I'd like to throw out an angle of it, which is trying to, and I'm going to use the word early retirement part of it, for employees that may want to exit the county early, or we may want them to exit the county early because we know of our budget challenges we're going to have at the end of the year. Okay? So calling it an early retirement policy, program, whatever, and look at it that direction. Because from a sick leave, we don't have a value on sick leave, and that's where I think I'll have a problem with it. So I had Bob review a simple policy, in concept, what I was thinking about.
I bounce the ideas off a few people I know who are attorneys in the area of, and what I got back was that it's possible to do what Jim is asking, and you just need to structure it properly. And it can incentivize people who are thinking about leaving anyway but don't want to. They may decide to because of this additional offer. And in a time when you're trying to save some money into the next budget year, it may be something worth looking at. The sick policy, what I heard pretty universally was, if you do this, it's very easy to implement, but it's very difficult to stop once you get it started. And anything that's, I mean, you're actually earning a benefit, and you have to pay that benefit no matter what that's earned during that period of time that you have the policy in place, and it's very difficult to stop that policy once you've started. The policy that Jim is asking about is one that can be done for a limited period of time as a, you know, sort of a pilot program, and you can stop it if no one takes advantage of it, they haven't earned anything. So they can't then complain after that period of time that it's not available to them.
And my thought is this would expire on October 31st of this year. So if we didn't get any participation, or if we got only a few participation, we could stop and revise it versus the sick leave policy, because all of a sudden we put a value to an item that we normally don't have a value to. So That's why I was leaning toward something like this.
I've been researching this also and talking to, as a matter of fact, I tried to contact a couple of other places this morning. The basic way that a lot of places do is they pay replacement cost is what they actually pay. If someone is sick, they have to, in other organizations, they have to try to get somebody to fill that position. I'm using schools as for example. So they take half of whatever that payment would be, like if a person is, and it's at the lowest payment of 10, most of ours would be $10 an hour, so it would be $5 an hour for accumulative hours. And I found out that everybody's talked about this, but I mean, 480 hours that we have, that's pretty standard. It's not something that's just out of the blue. I didn't realize that 480 hours for sick leave accumulation in 1 year. And if you don't use it, you lose it.
96 is sick hours accumulated is standard.
For a year, I mean. But that's what I'm...
You can carry over, at least when I...
480 is pretty standard, too, because it equals 12 weeks, which is the amount for the FMLA.
Yeah. That's the way I understood it. But 96 is what we have for...
96 is what's standard for...
Accumulated.
For a year.
For a year.
Yeah.
Okay.
To carry on the books, 480 may be kind of a standard, but when I talked to different counties, there was all over the place as far as what they allowed.
Okay. And we've got what now?
480.
480.
With 96 is what we accumulate for a year, 480 is what you carry for.
Well, the way they did, and I'm just going to use my wife for an example at her school, and she never hardly ever missed any work. It was just the whole thing of it is they paid, didn't make any difference what her salary was, they paid half of what it took to have someone come in and fill that position for that day that she was sick to the employee for the sick day at the end of retirement, not any other time.
They paid her 50% of her sick leave.
No, they didn't pay her 50% of her sick leave. They paid whoever replaced her.
So what did she get when she left on sick leave?
She got basically $5 a day for, or $5 an hour for the employee that replaced, that they called in to replace her.
Okay, so whatever her balance was,
yeah,
they gave her $5 an hour for those balances.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's the way they did that, because they had to replace her.
Okay.
And they had to pay that person, and so they paid her $5 an hour.
The difference between paying that person and what she would have made.
Mm-hmm.
So if you bring somebody in at the same salary, you get nothing.
They get half of whatever.
Yeah, they paid half of whatever they brought that person in. That's what they did.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
They paid her half of whatever that person that they brought in, which in our case we paid up people $10 an hour, don't we? If
so, Danny, then what's your proposal then?
I don't have any proposal. I'm just trying to throw things on the table to. I think you got a good idea. I tried to see what other people are doing so that our people feel like they're getting treated fairly.
Right.
And so.
Well, I'll give you.
Don't want to go too high on the spectrum, and I don't want to go too low on the spectrum.
So. Bob. Rick,
now, it's in their handbook. It's in the.
I'll go through my proposal real fast. Basically, this policy is designated to compensate employees of Taney County as they prepare for retirement. Any current full-time employee at Taney County may apply to the HR department for retirement agreement. We would be offering for each year of completed service $175 for each year of completed service. And this, my proposal would be that it expires October 31st of this year. So what we're doing, two things. We're anybody who is retiring, great, but we're also attracting anybody who may want to retire, who's contemplating retirement. The reason I say the 31st is because it still gives us 30 days of budget time to review the budget, see where headcount is, if we need to make adjustments. It is a limited time offer. So
it depends on what you're trying to achieve. If I could just point out.
Yes, sir. Point.
All right. One of the ideas behind the sick policy is to achieve less abuse of sick leave. And this will not speak to that issue.
Right.
However, if what you're trying to do is incentivize early retirement due to the budget situation, this does at least
go toward
achieving that.
Right. And so, that's what I'm trying to do. The thing is, if anybody's in the current payroll system, they would be eligible for this program. So that's how I've designated the terminology here. Go ahead, Rick. I'm sorry.
Jim talked to me about this, and I have to look at it from a budget perspective. First question is, how is it going to affect the budget? And you guys know, we've already talked about this. Our general county revenue, the revenue is down. Our expenses have been pretty much the same. And so we're looking at the same or at least a similar situation as what we looked at in Roden Bridge. And what we need to do is we need to, if at all possible, reduce our workforce. And, that can be a real painful thing. And when I look at this, and when people say, well, how can they do that? I can say, well, what they're doing is they're trying to reduce that workforce with the very least amount of pain for anyone when they do this. We're trying to help those people that might be close to retirement, ready to retire, ready to do something else, and move them in that direction and give them some incentive to do that. And then we want to keep those positions open, not filled, at least for a while, and see. Some of those we may have to go back and fill. Hopefully we'll be able to move things around, move people around, whatever, and we'll reduce our workforce. If this really does what I think it might do, it will cause us to do that. We'll have some people that we're thinking, I'm not going to retire, but with this I will.
And I just want to say I've not been quiet about the fact that we're going to have to make some serious cuts this fall in our budget. I've been pretty vocal about the whole thing. So I just point out this is one step closer to achieving that. Voluntarily versus an involuntary situation that could happen if we don't find cuts we need to in mid-December, we may have to do some involuntary things if we can't find savings other places. What we're doing is if people are making plans right now, this helps them make plans, but it also gives us time to make some good budget adjustments. And like Rick says, I'd still like to stand by the fact that we are in a hiring freeze except for specialized positions, and the hope is that instead of a forced exit, this is attrition. Basically, we're accelerating the attrition of people wanting to leave. So, that's why I went this way, keeping the sick out of the picture, because it's been messed with once time before, I believe, when we changed it years and years ago, and because wasn't it 720 or something, or 9, was some...
Daniel, were you and Chuck here when they reduced the amount of sick leave they could carry forward? It was a pretty big deal.
Yeah. And so we've already messed with it once. Yeah. So I'd rather just keep sick out of the picture and address the two issues I've got, which is trying to reduce headcount voluntarily and call it part of the retirement program too.
And when you talk about what Bob said is, that addressing the fact that we have some people that abuse sick leave, the only way you're going to address that fact is to change that policy, I believe, or administrators come down really heavy on that. But this then would allow you to look at that sick leave policy as a separate thing and not have to deal with two things at once.
Right. Okay, some of the thoughts that are going through my mind, one of your last comments, Jim, was trying to reduce headcount. And I realize that we, when budget times are tight, then we think about that more than when they're not tight.
Right.
But I don't know if I can put words to my feelings, but the idea of reducing headcount, we should be responsible for the number of people working in the county to do the jobs that we want done, the service that we want to perform. And it seems like we're mixing there. That something doesn't sit right with me there. The other thing is this, it's a new idea. Mm-hmm. And if we would go with what's been done a lot, which we talked about before and looked at before by lots of different entities, and that is the sick time. Mm-hmm. It's may not be perfect, but it is somewhat tested out there. A lot of people do it in different amounts and different years and different. Rick, you got a comment?
I think from what Bob says, this has been tested too.
Well, this is what we did last year. We just didn't put it in writing.
We had an employee. Gave somebody $175 a year?
We did in executive session. We did some settlements of employees that were, I don't know how to word it, Bob.
Let's not.
Okay, but again, we're talking, to me, I think we're talking two different things.
Sure.
Early retirement policy is what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And what I'm talking about is those folks that have worked for us 10 years or more.
Okay.
Showing appreciation for their continued service to the county by a method that's been used by lots of other private and public entities. Anyway, I still think that it's been out there. It's lots of people are still using it, I think. Lots of entities are still using it.
I think it just gets the same result, though, and we don't mix sick leave with it.
But what you're saying is we're going to look at it again, and I mean this is through
October 31st,
and then it may go away.
It may go away.
And my attitude is that the other way, the paying for your sick hours that aren't used is an ongoing thing unless we just get into a bad crunch. I mean, as we talked about the other day, it's a policy that we plan on continuing instead of looking at it each year.
We are in a bad crunch, Chuck. From a budget standpoint, I think we're in a crunch. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking about attrition, whatever. So I feel like we're there right now.
That's
what concerns me about dealing with the sick leave this way. I see that as a bigger burden on the budget. This is something that I can say, well, this is not really what I would call a burden on the budget here. But that's from a budget standpoint, okay? And I understand your feelings. I mean, I don't want to see anyone not here at all if they don't want to be here, but we're going to have to look at that, I think. I think we're in that budget crunch.
And I may not understand what I'm looking at here, but the employees that are retiring right now at the hours of sick leave they have left and this $175 a year is about the same money.
But yes. As you said, if we do the sick leave,
close.
If we do the sick leave policy, we have actually placed a value on all the sick leave that we have accumulated on the books, 480 hours for a lot of different people.
Right.
And we've placed that value on there where,
accounting wise, we have to.
So kind of almost, Chuck, what it would do is then if you decided you wanted to go and change the sick leave policy, make it a better sick leave policy, which I think you at least have a concern to do that. Of all the conversations I've heard, I feel like that you recognize that there needs to be something changed. And if you place value on it and you decide you want to change it to the industry standard again is paid time off, then you have a lot of people that already have that value. How are you going to treat that? It creates a problem, you see.
I don't know. And when Jim said that a minute ago, I have to agree that that is an issue that will have to be addressed if we go to the PTO thing. But we may not go to the PTO thing. We're going to look at it, I think, and that's good. I'm all for that. But we may not. We may stick with what we got.
Do you want to keep that option open? Being able to go.
Now, what I just said, that I've...
If you place value on your sick leave, you're almost closing that option, I think. That was what I was trying to say to you.
It's very difficult once you get into this policy to get out of this policy. Everyone at, if you pick 10 years, earns one half of, if you pick 50%, one half of their sick time, 480 hours, you're basically paying them for 240 hours or 6 weeks of pay. And as long as they maintain 480 hours or get back 480 hours, you have 6 weeks of pay that's owed to every employee who's been here more than 10 years, whether they leave or not. So you keep that amount on the books in perpetuity. And even if you stop the program, you keep that amount or whatever amount they earned while you had the program in place on the books in perpetuity.
Well,
until they retire.
And I don't expect to win this argument, but I'm going to make it anyhow. We're talking about value of sick time, that it has no value. And I understand what you're saying, mm-hmm. but you can look at it in a different angle. And sick time does have value. Because if you get sick, and some people that aren't sick don't come to work, don't provide a service, and yet they get paid for it. That's a value. They get a value out of sick time. They get paid for it. And we've got employees that have worked when they were well for many years. And we have some employees that don't do that. And again, it's just, when these folks retire after they've worked 10, 15, 20 years and have not abused the sick policy, have been right about it, I'm going to argue all the other folks that have felt like this was a wise thing to do, I agree with them. I think this is a wise thing to do. I know there's some concerns, and if we change to PTO, we're going to have an issue to try to figure out. But again, we may not change to PTO.
You asked me a while ago was how much that my wife received, and mm-hmm. it was in a 60 some hours times the
half the pay.
Half the pay.
Okay.
That's what she received. For the 96 hours that were accumulated for that particular year, and they have a 480 that you can accumulate somehow. But anyway, they paid her for the last year.
Formula. Only the last year is what they paid for?
Only the last year is what they paid her. And they didn't allow the accumulation to fall into effect. It's in their handbook policy the way they've got it wrote out.
Okay.
That doesn't really incentivize proper use of the sick time, because even with a 480-hour limit, all that does is incentivize whoever it is to not take sick time during the last 5 years of their employment, because you earn 480 hours after 5 years at 96 a year, correct? Approximately. And so for the last 5 years, you don't take any sick time. Before your last 5 years, you take all the sick time you want.
So, in number three here on this deal, compensation
bar. Uh-huh.
Tane County shall compensate any employee qualifying for the retirement agreement, $175 uh-huh. for each year of service.
Uh-huh.
So,
can that, what's to keep us from paying, and maybe that you're not concerned about that in what you're proposing here, but what if we got an employee that has abused the sick leave policy? They're still going to get $175?
It has nothing to do with sick leave. Yeah, I'm not addressing sick leave.
Whether they've been here a year or
correct.
5 years or
correct.
Whatever. So we're going to...
Let me ask you this, Chuck.
I don't see that that's a good thing.
I know we have one employee that would really like to retire, and she has not been in good health. She's been here for a number of years. I don't know how many, and it doesn't make any difference anyway. But because she hadn't been in good health, she's still done a great service for the county. So on the other end of the argument you're talking about there, you have to think about, well, is it fair not to reward her for being here, even though she has been sick?
Well, it seems like, well,
let me go back to my service. And we just, for the most part, we don't have much control over sickness. We have some, of course, but by the way we eat and exercise and all those things. But we don't know when we're going to get hit by a car or something like that. But when it comes to service to the county, the person that doesn't take any sick leave, and they serve the county, they're here working 8 hours a day or whatever it is, that's performance. That's service to the county that the people are getting. And someone that isn't as fortunate, that gets sick or gets hurt or something, they're not performing for the county. So there's a value there, I think, to the people that we're serving.
On those sick days, they're not performing, but that doesn't mean that over the 15, 20 years they were here, they probably served the county well, or they probably wouldn't have lasted that long.
I don't argue that one bit, okay. And they might be exemplary employees. But the whole idea, in fact, that's what our agenda item is sick leave. It's about sick time that's not used when you retire and you've been here for 10, 15, or 20 years. And that was my motion the other day, was to follow the pattern that we've got. And that's 25, 40, and 50.
I understand what you're saying, and indirectly, I hear you. Indirectly, it sounds like we want to reward longevity employees that have been healthy.
That have been healthy and
long
not,
employees
and not,
have been here that only
and didn't abuse their sick time.
See, I don't know if you can say that, because they could have been sick and not abused the policy. They used the policy as
you said, healthy employees.
Yep.
I'm sorry to say, and I think everybody would agree on this without much thing, we've got a few healthy employees that are using sick leave and getting paid for doing things. They're healthy. You said healthy. We got healthy employees that are abusing the sick leave. And this would give an incentive for those people to think, well, now, wait a minute.
Well, and I don't disagree with what you said. I don't want to say that everyone's abusing the policy, though.
Didn't say everyone.
But
I said we have some.
Right. No, I understand.
That would be a fringe benefit of paying for your unused sick time for folks that don't have the right attitude about sick time.
If I may, I guess it just comes down to, what are you trying to achieve? What is it you're trying to achieve here today? How much of a benefit are you willing to add to achieve that? How effective is what you're proposing to achieving your goal? And how cost effective is it? And I think those are the questions for you.
And I'll say it again. I think I said it the other day, but I see it as a reward to faithful employees that have left over sick time. Anyway, I've argued it enough, I guess. Am I not clear?
You're 100%
clear. Am I not making sense to what I feel like this is about? I mean, again, I'd argue over and over that we've got many employees that practice this, and it seems to make sense.
You're proposing that we pay a certain percentage of sick time based on a 480-hour accumulation to employees who are retiring, who have been faithful employees who don't get sick. And
haven't used their sick time. Those who are faithful employees who have been sick, the one downside to it, don't have any at the end of their employment, even if they want to retire. But yours tries to achieve both the utilizing your sick time wisely and not misusing it, and rewards faithful employees after a certain period of service at the time they retire.
Thank you, Bob.
Excellent. And
exactly.
Whatever that cost is, that's what you're trying to accomplish. And on the other hand, Jim is trying to accomplish those people who are getting ready to retire to incentivize them by a per-year payment. And he wants to accumulate attrition in positions to save us money by the end of the year and reward people for leaving early. And whatever that cost is, that's his goal. So you have a couple of different goals and a couple of different costs.
Very well said. Maggie, got a comment? Just listening.
Well, you know, the people...
If you're going to comment, you've got to come up to the mic. You know that. Or sit down at the mic. You don't have to comment.
Well, I have to say that... And I'm not going to point out anything as far as anybody in our department, but when people reach the 480 hours, as many, and you can check this with Dawn, as many of our employees have, you can begin to see, because they know that they're going to get the 96, they're going to take some sick time. I have a question for you, and I was thinking of this since we last spoke, and I'm sorry I was late for the meeting, but I didn't know what time the meeting started. Is there a way that we can work around this if we had paid time off where you're grouping everything together?
That's what they were talking about, PTO, if we go to PTO.
Is that an option instead of breaking it out as far as holiday time, sick time?
The proposal that I just got in reviewing, that's what they do. They lump personal days, vacation days, and sick time together. And they give a cash buyout value for unused amount of that at the end of the year. So
The end of the year when you're retired?
End of the year. You get the buyout.
What if you don't want the buyout and you want the time to carry?
The proposal I've seen didn't have a rollover. It's you start every year at zero, but there's a buyout at the end of the year for each person. So, I mean, it's like I said, it's just a new draft. I've seen it. I haven't spent it, but that's the draft I've seen, and it's still very, very rough. Some things don't apply, so I'm going back to Lynette with some other options. There's a bunch of plays to do the PTO. I think what we're trying to do, though, Maggie, is try to address short term. I think we're also trying to do something in a real quick time. We're going to review this PTO thing toward the late summer, I think.
Well, the reason why I asked that question is if you did that, would that help then the situation we're in right now in determining how we're going to do the sick time when persons retire?
Right.
I mean, if you group that all in together, would that not solve the problem that we're here for today? It's a question I don't know.
I just don't know if we can get to the answer quick enough to meet some
people who are going to retire this year.
Okay. I just don't know if we can get. I think we can get there. I just don't know if we can get there quick enough is the challenge I'm seeing.
Since we're talking a couple of three different things here on the PTO, what happens to if you go that route? What happens to accumulated sick hours for folks.
I just got a draft. I really don't even have any. I haven't dug into the effects of how what we do now and how it applies and what the changes would be and who loses hours or doesn't lose hours. I haven't dug into it. I mean, all I keep on going back to is I just don't want to hang a policy to a sick policy because I think we're starting to agree that we need to review that and see if there's a value. I just think there's so many things that we don't know yet. I just hate to hang a policy to something I know I'm going to be pushing to change.
Is there some reason you want to do this quickly? I think the answer is yes, right?
Well, there's some impending retirements that I've heard, and I think we've talked about this sick policy for a while, or not sick policy, whatever we've called sick something, sick policy, sick buyout, sick.
We've been talking about it
for months.
We talked about it a year ago, I think.
Yeah,
I mean, it's about. And
if I remember right, the first time I brought it up was probably 6 years ago.
Yeah, you actually Yeah. And you brought me the document from Pettis and Buchanan and the different counties that we hammered this out or worked on it. And like so many things, we just kind of push it off to the side.
And I think the sick leave policy needs to be changed. I agree with you guys on that. But what I understood Maggie to say then was that just because somebody has 480 hours may not mean that they were an employee that didn't abuse the sick leave.
You achieve up to 480 hours worth of good use of sick time, but once somebody's accumulated 480 hours, and there's no reason
to use it
wisely. So you go ahead and use it. So anybody that's going to abuse it is going to abuse it anyway once they've achieved 480 hours. So in order to really achieve what you're trying to achieve, you'd have to not limit it to 480 hours, and then people would accumulate all kinds, but you would cost yourself more money.
And I don't disagree with any of that, but that still does not reward employees that don't do that kind of thing, because we got employees that are retiring that have not done that. And again,
but I don't know that you can distinguish between those employees who, if they have 480 hours, they have 480 hours. You can't say, but you've misused your time, and this other person has 480, and they didn't really use any. They just lost it because it didn't roll over. So we're going to reward this person and not this person. You've got to reward everybody based on their number of hours.
I agree. You cannot distinguish. But we will be rewarding employees that have done the county right.
And possibly employees that haven't.
But you're correct, yes.
You're right.
You're both
But
correct.
That still doesn't change the first part of it. There's two parts. I agree, there's two parts. There's those that have served the county right, and there's those that haven't.
But
Chuck, get rewarded.
But what he said was that doesn't accomplish your goal. If that's
No, it does accomplish my goal. My goal is to reward those employees that have served the county right. Some others that haven't are going to get the same reward, but the ones I'm trying to address will receive a reward.
So it sounds to me like that maybe what Jim's proposing might do what you want to do too.
I rest my case. I'll get more out on this.
My proposal is that we would pay any employee who wants to retire or wants to leave the county a total of $175 per year service, of completed service. So if you've worked, give me an easy math number here.
10 years.
10 years, thank you.
We would
$1,750, and that rewards years of service, but doesn't tie to their sick policy whatsoever, because my position has been my goal's a little different than Chuck's, and it's all right to have different goals. Mine is that we're trying to, if people want to leave and they're contemplating retirement or contemplating, you know, changing their career path, if they've still put years into service, I need to reward that, because 10 years service to the county or 15 years or 20 years is a lot. And they've been through a lot, and they've helped the county out. Because, so my part is just reward them on a per dollar figure for completed years of service, and that's it.
And not tie it to the sick time.
Nothing with sick time, because once again, I just think that opens a number. If we change the sick policy, it changes this program, and so keeping those things separate. My thought is, and we sunset it October 31st to review. So November 1st, we may come with a different policy or revise it to say $150 or $100. But just do a sunset to say, okay, it's going to start here. We're going to commit to end on the 31st of October of this year, just to see what the response is. Because we have no idea. Nobody will take it. 3 people will take it, or 20 people will take it. So that's my proposal, is just keep it real simple based off of completed years of service. But from a legality and making sure it doesn't appear to be bonuses or incentives, it makes it a whole lot easier if we make it available for every employee if they've been here 1 year or have been here 37 years. That way we keep out of this bonus structure problem that we hear a lot that government can't do. So that was my proposal.
Does that fall into the legal realm, Bob?
Yeah, I've bounced it off of other HR attorneys, and either policy will pass the legal test. You can do what Chuck wants to do, and you can do what Jim wants to do, but it has to be structured properly.
Correct.
And Chuck says 10, 15, and 20.
I'll make my motion again. I'll make a motion that we begin a policy to pay the unused sick hours, 10 years work at 25%, 15 years at 40%, 20 years at 50%. What do I need to add to that, Bob?
I'm sorry.
You were doing something else.
20 years or more. That's what your policy was last time. Was unused sick time is what you said. You've got the motion. I'm just making sure you've got it. You said unused sick time. If you've had 10 years of completed service, the cash value would be 25% of the unused sick. Cash value would be 40% of the unused sick after 15 years. And after 20 years or more, 50% of your unused sick time would be the cash value.
Yep.
Okay.
If you come to the mic, you can.
With what Mr. Stroffus is recommending and what you have, in comparison, if somebody retired in 15 years, well, we used 10 years before 1750. Bob, you have the calculator. Are the two pretty much equal?
Well, 175 for 20 years is 3,500.
Okay.
480 hours.
Which is?
At what percentage?
50%?
You said 10 years, right? Are we doing 10 years?
Well, only because you and I discussed 10 years.
Okay, give me a number, and I got a calculator right here, too.
Okay.
It depends on the wage that they have probably made.
Dude, that's also the wage. So give me all the scenarios.
Okay, 20 years.
20 years.
480 hours.
Okay.
$1,701 an hour.
240 times
1701. Make it
17.
Make it easy.
Okay.
No, don't make it easy on me. No, please. I got a calculator here.
I'd like to add to my motion beginning.
So that equals 8,165. Okay, so it's $8,164.80 is what the 480
divided
hours.
By two, so it's 4,080 approximately.
4,080.
And at the other rate, it's 3,500. So it's a difference of basically $580 to $600 over a 20-year period, the difference between the two.
And eliminating then the reward type aspect, if you did it the other way, right? I mean, if you're that close, it would eliminate people looking at it as a reward because you didn't abuse your sick time versus...
I mean, the 3,500 would be not based upon sick time at all, and the 4,080 would be if you had the full 480.
Okay.
Chuck, I want to make sure you said your effective on that motion would be 5-1 of 2010.
Correct.
Okay.
Effective 5-1 or 6-1?
5-1.
Okay.
Is that a problem?
I haven't looked at that issue yet. That's a retroactive situation, and I haven't looked at that. I mean, I didn't realize we were going to do that.
We haven't had any retirements this year, have we? Up to this month?
Yes.
Monday.
Yes.
Yes. Vince Chanel left Monday.
Previously the month of May, anything previous to the month
That's
of May?
I think there was somebody retired in January, but I'm not sure.
May.
Danny, I think the pressure's on you, if you feel pressure. Because
I don't feel pressure. I don't feel pressure.
We had at least two others. No, I know one other, for sure. Maggie's one could tell you that. Or not Maggie, Dixie's one could tell you that she's not here.
I don't feel pressure on this issue because... I think that we have a great concern with the budget. And I was elected to look out for the entire citizens of Taney County. I want to treat the employees. I've been pro-employee ever since I've been here, and I think there's nobody could argue that in any way, fashion, or form that I haven't been. But when we have to look at a budget situation that we're uncertain of, it makes it very difficult to make a decision like this, the time frame of this decision. One that, whether it's messed with now or later, when it gets down to the final operation of the county and the dollars that can be spent, then is whenever the pressure's on all three of us, and not until that point. And I think that the auditor stated that the pressure is on right now. So I feel like that we work for the entire county. The staff works for the entire county, and they have to accept whatever is the benefit and the good of the entire county. And that's the reason I don't feel any pressure on this issue. We just have to do our job.
Well, let me challenge you just a little bit. If we don't do either one of these, to your point, as far as budget, right, but as far as retirement and those that are affected by it, it's going to affect them.
Yeah, I understand
Whether it's my proposal or Jim's.
I understand that, and they're not going to like, the employees are not going to like what I've got to say about the situation, but I think when a person's caught abusing sick leave, and no matter what fashion or form, they should be suspended for 3 days without pay, and then turn around, and if they're caught again at the same issue, we don't have to worry about their retirement because they're terminated. That puts an end to abuse of the policy, and everybody knows somebody that abuses the policy, and everybody knows that there's people out there that do not and work hard for this county, and whenever they have a family member or somebody like that, an immediate family member that is ill, it's the same as them being sick that they have to take care of, and there's situations that of all kinds, but whenever it comes down to the final end of making this operation work, the amount of dollars coming in and the amount of dollars going out, so the only two things that matter, and the service of the people that work here. We've made this a great place to work. If you don't believe so, just look at the resumes that come in when there's applications for a job. And people have been hired on here at a more rapid pace in the last 6 to 8 years because of the need. And I agree with both of you on that. We have a service to supply. But when the dollars aren't there to supply that service, you have to look for a different route. And I don't know how to deal with it, but I do know that abuse of sick leave policy is something that's been lax in our departments and our department heads and everything else. They know whenever somebody is not is out on a boat. I'm going to use a circumstance without a name. Chuck and I rode down the road one day on a road project, and we seen a guy riding a tractor that was out. So those kind of things you see all the time. And was there any punishment laid down? No. Was there any suspension for 3 days? No. If it happened again, would there have been any termination? I don't think there would have been, but I would like to see it enforced. And I think you'll cut down on your sick leave abuse whenever you start doing that.
I think that the instance you're talking about, I believe that gentleman was on doctor's order or whatever.
That makes it even worse as far as I'm concerned.
Right, but we can't go over a doctor if we see some guy out there fishing and he's not been ill. I mean, that gentleman had had some serious health issues.
Yeah, I don't even want to go into that talk.
Well, you brought him up. I'm just saying that that's not a good example.
That's a perfect example of abuse of a situation. Whenever if a man is under those circumstances, then he should not be, if he can't work for the county and is on a different type of situation, if he can't work for a county, he sure can't be out there riding a tractor, pulling a plow.
But he's not with the county anymore.
I don't want to bring any names up or talk about it. I'm just telling you that's an example of what goes on.
Well, to your other point, if we know, I don't know of anyone. If our supervisors know that of people that are doing that, we need to talk to our supervisors. We need to do something about it.
Well, I don't go around and check every day, but one thing about it, whenever I go down the road and see an county employee pulling a bass boat down the road, and I guess we could go call and check in, see if they were, but that's not our job. I mean, somebody else knows that also.
Other discussion?
I think the whole thing lies within what our budgetary, what we can budget for this county for the next year, and how that, I know we're trying to accomplish two or three things in one motion. The way I feel about it, the way we've talked, we're trying to promote, if you want to use the word retirement. That's probably not the best word to use, but that's what it all comes down to. And then the other deal is deal with the sick leave policy and not rewarding the ones that are come to work every day. Those are two things that we're trying to.
Mr. Jim?
I
don't hear any second.
Okay, so let me ask you a question, Chuck. What could we?
But you haven't made a motion.
No, I haven't made a motion. I just want to ask you.
You'll get a second, but you can try.
Well, I might. What is there any part of my proposal or a specific part you don't like? Because compensation wise, I did the numbers. I'm not quite. I shouldn't say paying out as much, but we're not. I'm not. Putting as big as burden, and I'm limiting the burden to the end of October. Is besides that, is there areas that you don't like?
Yeah, again, your title is early retirement policy, mm-hmm. And we could have a gentleman, lady come here at 20 years old, work for 3 years.
Okay, I can call it sick policy.
Well, okay, we're changing it. You asked me. I'm just
sorry, Chuck. That was humor. Okay, sorry. Sorry.
Go ahead. I'm just saying that it's a retirement policy, but it has nothing to do with retirement.
That's true. I mean, retirement from this job. I guess it's a name,
and it's adding a benefit that's not really tied to retirement. It's adding a benefit for employees.
Okay.
So, it's benefiting something that you're not trying to benefit, I think.
Okay.
So yours is without, if I worked here 1 year, you would pay me?
$175, and you go on your way.
You're not limiting it to the 10, 15,
and I have,
Maggie.
The question, Maggie.
You don't have to get out.
The question was asked from the audience. I'll repeat the question for Maggie. Is just this one time. No, I did not limit it. Now I have two other policies. One is limited starting at 5 years, and then I have another copy that's limited to 15 years, meaning 15 years or more. What I don't want to get into a situation, and the reason I went to unlimited, basically, which was not trying to leave out a demographic of our workforce so that it wouldn't be perceived as a bonus or a bonus in a government situation. So if I made it available to everybody, that takes care of that situation. From my perspective, we can't say I'm not limited. There's no one excluded in my plan.
And if your goal is to promote attrition, if somebody with 1 year wants to take the $175 and leave, that's another position that's open that doesn't have to be paid for that year if you don't replace the person.
And the whole thing is we may get in a situation where supervisors, elected officials get an opportunity to review their workforce if someone leaves and say, you know, I can hold off for 3 months, and that will help the budget. Or I can don't need it till 6 months, or I don't need it, or I need it right now. What I'm trying to do is if someone's really only been here a year and they'll take $175, I'm not sure how valuable that employee is. If they're, you know, I don't know. I don't see anybody been here 1 year saying, I'll sign me up. I'm leaving for $175. Not in this economy. So I really think it's going to be the same people, but I just didn't want to limit it to a smaller group. I just made it available to everybody. And early retirement probably is not the right word. I don't know what it should be called. I don't want to. But what I'm trying to do is do two things. If people are going to retire who've been here for multiple years, there's a program for it. If there's some employees that have been here 5 years and, you know, they would, with a little incentive, would leave, and it gives the opportunity for our elected official or manager to review that position to see if we need to pay them. If it needs to be replaced right away or not, that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to also knowing that this year's budget's going to be difficult, and the reality is we'll cut first wherever we can cut. At least my position, this is speaking as one commissioner, we'll cut where we can cut, but there'll be a certain point that if the numbers I think we're heading direction, we can't cut enough out of the budget without looking at personnel. And I'd much rather provide a voluntary avenue versus an involuntary avenue. And so it's kind of trying to do a lot of things at one time is what I'm trying to do. And that's the ugly part of the budget. But it also rewards those who've been here for many, many years to say, you know, thank you. So, and I have no problem with the 15-year or the 10-year or a 5-year. I get a little concerned when our county councilor takes a deep sigh of breath when between proposals. I'm thinking, well, he doesn't like this one as much. He likes this one better. And so I went with the best option, the least amount of liability to us, which is this with no years attached to it. So long answer for your question.
I want to go back to what I started to talk about a while ago. When a person comes to work for the county and they've worked here for a certain period of time, and they've got 2 weeks of, and it's a short period of time to receive 2 weeks of paid vacation. They receive 12 paid holidays. They get 3 personal days. So we're already getting up close to a month time off that they have worked for or the job persists of. Then we add sick days on top of that they can take up to 96 hours. The first thing you know, the general public that we all work for is beginning to think, well, you know, they've got, look to me like they've got a pretty cush job to me, that they get all this time off, that they're not serving the county, and they get paid for all that time versus, why are we arguing about sick leave and all those things at this point? That's the only part that kind of has a concern to me. That's the reason I said we've made this a good place to work. There's been several issues that have been brought forward, and I'm not picking on Chuck, but right before I got here, there was an issue on taking away a holiday because I think he said that it cost us $20,000 to shut the courthouse down. So we took away a holiday, and to make people work, and then we already have the majority of the people that work for the county have over a month off of paid benefits, and that's not even counting the sick leave.
Just FYI on the paid holidays, I think the state of Missouri this year, the day after Thanksgiving is no longer a paid holiday, is what I heard. Did you hear that? Mm-hmm. So they changed that this year. So I think for our policy,
they're looking to save some money in their budget.
They're saving money in their budget too. So they're not paying the day after Thanksgiving.
Won't they save more if they keep the legislature? Well, it's not the legislature they'll be keeping.
Anyway, our policy is still our policy, but the state of Missouri canceled the day after Thanksgiving as a holiday. So
that's, you know. So.
Well, I'll throw it out there. I may not get a second, but we'll, for grins and giggles here. My policy is any current full-time employee. Do you want me to read the whole thing, Christy? How many people do we have listening in?
18.
I'll read it. Any current full-time employee, this is my motion, any current full-time employee at Taney County may apply to the HR department for a retirement agreement. A current employee is defined as an employee that is currently in the payroll system and receiving regular paychecks. And then there's some disclaimers that we're not forcing them into this. Basically, Taney County will compensate any employee qualifying for the retirement agreement $175 for each year of completed service. And that lump sum amount will be paid on the final paycheck to the employee. This policy would expire October 31st, 2010, the end of business that day. I don't know if that's even basically I'm saying at 5 o'clock on the, let's just say 5 o'clock on the 31st. I don't know if that's a weekend or a weekday, but I had labeled it an early retirement policy for full-time employees at Taney County. So, in a nutshell, that's my motion.
Can I ask, did you have a time period? When does that begin?
It begins today. But the definition is if they're still receiving, if they're still in the if they're in the payroll system right now, existing in the payroll system, they would qualify.
Okay. And I think the one employee you're concerned about, he may have given 2 weeks notice, and that 2 weeks hasn't expired, whether he's done or not.
Right.
What I'm saying is that situation's fungible, or
yeah. I looked at all the current May, trying to be.
I think the word's fungible. I'm not sure.
I've never heard that word before. But all the May retirees would qualify. Okay. Got a motion.
And let me hear it again.
Let me just give you a highlight of the
yeah,
motion.
Give me a highlight of
okay.
it.
For every year of completed service, you get $175. It doesn't matter if you've been here 1 year or 39 years. It's $175 per year paid on your last check. If you're a full-time employee and still in the payroll system, that's who qualifies. So it's not retroactive, but if you're still in the payroll system right now, it starts from that point going through 5 p.m. on October 31st of this year. That way we can have a chance to review it. If no one's taken it, then, you know, no one's taken it. Then we can let it sunset and create a sick leave policy or something. But this way, I'd like to give any employee. So, anyway, that's my timeline. I could explain.
And as Maggie said, and you guys explained there, that the amount for 1 year is not that much difference.
No, I mean, in Maggie's example, a 20-year person who has 480 hours of sick leave on the books, mm-hmm. making $17.01 an hour. The proposal from Commissioner Pennell was their payout would be $4,080. Mm-hmm. And in my proposal, it would be $3,500. So it's $580 difference mm-hmm. yeah. between the two proposals.
Yeah. Okay. More discussion?
I may have misused it.
yeah, there is. I thought maybe the other day whenever I tried to put a time limit on something, I was kind of scolded a little bit whenever I said something about trying something for a year by you.
I put
the
a time
other two
on.
Commissioners.
Yeah. Let me tell you what. I talked to Rick and Bob about this.
Okay.
Rick gave me a perspective I didn't think about with a time limit, which was by the end of October, we will have been, we'll be knee deep into the budget cycle.
Yeah.
And we'll know if we have a problem or not a problem. His thoughts, Rick has no problem telling me his thoughts on this program, which is, I appreciate that, which is if it would be best not to have this policy in place if we have to do something else drastic.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of, the reason we sunset it is we'll know who's talking about it, who's taking the policy, and then we'll be knee-deep into the budget to know if this is what we want to continue or not continue. But it addresses, basically the May people through October, so they can plan and we can plan.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what Rick's perspective was for me.
Right. I mean, I just wanted to know why the time limit was put. Why it was such a question the other day, whenever it's not one now, but that's fine with me. I didn't see any problem with the time limit the other day myself. But.
James?
Well, I'm coming here as peacemaker today. Why don't you add $20 to your motion, make it $195, and settle Chuck's concern, settle Maggie's concern, and they'll get their $4,008.
Wait a minute, James, because I don't know. You're giving me a concern I don't have.
I know, but I mean, add $20 to the $175. You're getting it up to the $4,000.
He's saying if it's a money issue.
If it's a money issue, that's where I'm going.
Yeah,
And that would solve the problem of two employees getting around and going, I'm after the bigger dollars. I'm mad because they wouldn't give me the bigger dollars, and it's $20. I get $195 and resolve the issue.
I'm sorry.
Doesn't help me a bit, James, on that point.
But I'd like to point out that it's very refreshing for James to be a peacemaker.
I'll be the troublemaker then. What are we going to do about our employees that can't retire this year, that might retire next year or in a year and a half, and they'll meet their deadline to retire? If you don't keep this policy in place, they'll be hurt by this policy. Not necessarily hurt, but they won't be able to benefit from this policy, but those people who are going to take advantage of it during this time period would. And maybe they would like to be able to take advantage of it, but because they haven't reached 65 or whatever debt, or maybe they have another 6 months to work until they completely vested or something, those employees could be.
Could I just
yes.
make a comment here? In that situation, I would just want to know, that way we could plan accordingly. That would help justify the renewal of the policy. My proposal was short term, but if that was a situation, I would want to know. That way, that would help me justify extending the policy for ongoing. I mean, I'm trying to do it just as a short-term get us through this year, but if there was two or three employees that said, well, I would sign up if it was extended another six more months, I'd like to know that information, and then it would help me justify bringing it back up to extend.
And you'd have to probably put that out in a paycheck or something, mm-hmm. questioning that.
Okay.
Bob and Rick, where you guys standing on this situation? You've already discussed it. You've talked about it. Bob has talked about the legal issues. He can't see anything.
As long as it's structured properly.
As long as it's structured properly. And do you see by the 31st of October that we'll be deep enough into the budget, we'll know whether we have to eliminate this, or we can go ahead and proceed, or look at some other form?
I understand from the budget perspective, and you know, whether I'm for it or not doesn't make any difference on the
yeah.
budget, but from the budget perspective, I have to look at it and say, okay, it looks like we are going to have to cut some personnel.
Mm-hmm.
either voluntary or involuntary. Hopefully this will allow us to do that. Maybe we'll have to replace some of those people, as Jim said, but maybe we'll be able to do without some of those positions that we lose. That's so from the budget perspective, I think this might be a good thing. As far as the sunset, that I think at October 31st, if you look at this and say, look, this is a good thing for the budget or this is a bad thing for the budget. Mm-hmm. And that's just budget perspective is all.
Yeah, and then we're just going to leave sick leave alone until that time to until we decide what we're going to do on that.
Again, I think you need to look at sick leave, but when you do it, it's you guys, not me.
Yeah. Jim, okay.
No, you got it.
Jim, would you consider, if we're going to do it till October the 31st, would you consider $200 on it? Make it an even number.
I'll consider it, sure.
Go ahead.
Saved by the speaker.
Shaggy?
It's beginning to sound like, because we're putting the budget in a deadline of October 31st, and I think I brought this up at the last meeting on Monday, is this because of budget purposes and what has been stated that we might possibly have to look at employee cuts? Is this proposal coming up now to help that, to encourage the employee who might otherwise be laid off to voluntarily resign? Is that why this is being brought up now? Because I'm hearing this.
Please remember, Maggie, to answer your question for myself, what has been said, that is not why this is up for me. Now, it may be for Danny and Jim, they can answer themselves. But think about what Bob's very well repeated, what my motive is. That's not my motive, no.
Now, Danny, how about you?
No, I think I stated that the budget is my main issue. This is just one avenue that could possibly help in that situation. It has nothing to do with that other than it might be one avenue to help when we consider the budget.
And I think the plan itself said that it's not intended to force anybody to retire that doesn't want to retire. What this is simply, people who may want to retire but don't have what they want to retire may be incentivized to retire at the present time. It may be people who, a lot of whom wouldn't be laid off if they stayed employed, but they choose to leave because of the incentive, and that may enable other people not to be laid off. So it's not necessarily the people who would be laid off who would take advantage of this. I mean, a lot of times, we don't do a first-on, first-off type situation. It's not a seniority situation. But if you did a seniority situation, basically the people who wouldn't take advantage of these things would be the very people who would be laid off first in a seniority situation. So I don't think there's a tie between the two, but obviously it's the desire of that policy that some people take advantage of it so that it will save on the budget.
Maggie, I didn't get a chance to answer. I'm against the sick leave policy as has been discussed the last 2 weeks or the last two times. And so I felt like if the momentum is to do this for retired people and pay, basically it's a retirement policy based on sick accrued or accumulated sick hours. Uh-huh. I don't like that policy, and so what I was challenged in a very short period was come up with a proposal that I would support. I don't want to come out across and say I'm against paying people as who've been here for multiple years. What I am for is a policy that I can support. I can't support putting a value on sick time. I just can't. So what I had to do in a short period of time was come up with a policy that I was thinking about this fall if budget gets really ugly. And so what I've done is had to accelerate that whole process because I'd much rather have a good policy that I can support now versus a bad policy in my eyes. And so that's why I'm doing all this right now, because I felt like the momentum was, you know, I believe it was Chuck who put it on the agenda first time a couple weeks ago or something like that.
Probably.
So I just felt like there was some momentum, and so at that point, it's not that I'm against rewarding the retirees. My thing is I'd rather it be based on years of service or tenure versus just sick policy.
Sick time.
So that's why I came up with a policy in the short time like this, because I wanted to make sure that it's something that I can support, and that's why I came up with this.
So on October 31st, should yours go, I don't know about Chuck's, there's a good possibility that this policy would not be in effect after October 31st of 2010.
My,
look at it in the budget. I'll put it that way. You're going to take a look at it in the budget November 1st of 2010 to see if it'll carry on.
My hope is that we continue it on. I'd like to see this personally. I'd like to see it part of the permanent handbook going forward. And maybe outside this budget year, we put a year of service in there. But right now, with this being a budget the way it looks like, make it available to everybody, and then change the structure maybe on the renewal to every for people who have been employed for 10 years or more. I mean, if in the ideal world, we'd have people take advantage of this situation, of this policy, and then renew it, starting it for the people who've been serving 10 years or more.
But there is that possibility, because of the budget, that it would not be renewed.
This is a budget helper. This actually helps the budget. This doesn't hurt the budget. The other thing I want to point out is, with this policy, if someone perceives that they may be targeted for an involuntary layoff, this is a perception of mine, this gives them an avenue to start looking for another job and know that they can count on another job, get another job, and then take advantage of this policy. If they feel like they're going to be, if they feel like they're in that area, if we have to do head, reduction. So I'm trying to make it, I'm trying to come up with a plan that is kind of is available for everybody at this juncture with the economic conditions.
Jim?
Okay.
Yes, sir?
You said you were challenged. Was that you personally challenged yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought you
meant. Yeah, yeah. No. I'm not. No.
I didn't think any of us challenged
No.
Something new.
Okay. No.
No.
And I know I sprung it on you guys, but I was thinking about this since our meeting. I think we had a meeting on Monday. Or what is today? Thursday? We had a meeting Wednesday, I believe. When did we have the meeting?
Wednesday,
thank you. And so I've been thinking about, this is, I know I sprung this on you guys, but it's once again, I think on Wednesday I said I wasn't telling you where I was on the position, because I think we had, Danny gave some percentages, you gave percentages. I just wasn't comfortable with sick leave, and now that I've thought about it, this is what I am comfortable with. So.
He didn't fax, or you emailed something to me yesterday afternoon for the first time.
Well, that's when the first time I drew it up, and I finally put it down in writing and emailed it to you yesterday after lunch. So,
one thing, Rick, I believe I heard you say we are going to have to cut personnel. You're not confident of that this time, are you?
Chuck, it depends on where you want to go again, just like it was last year. We ate into our deficit this year. We will eat into it. We don't know how much yet, but I would guess $1 million, $1.5 million.
But Maggie said something that may have come from that, but you have not made a decision that we will definitely have to cut personnel. Is that right?
If you want me to balance the budget, we'll have to cut personnel.
Otherwise, we'll spend up the savings account. The deficit spend.
When you say balance the budget, you mean not use any of our balance.
Reserves.
We'll have a balanced budget, but we'll be using part of our our reserves.
Let me just make it clear to everybody. Our revenues, we will probably not be able to project enough revenues to cover all the expenses at the current level of services.
Right. Expenses will exceed revenues, but revenues plus savings will be more than our expenses.
We'll balance. We'll balance it by using revenues, by using reserves.
And I'll just put it out there. We've talked about this before, and I am not going to go that
my vote is not going to go that route to dip into reserves again. We've done deficit spending 2 years now in a row.
I'd have to look, Danny, because I'm not sure we were.
We were close. If we wasn't, we was right on the edge, and I had a question about it at that point. And then last year, and we took one department and tried to help things, and this year the other department will have to one source of revenue. That I'm not going to dip into necessary reserves. And so, yes, if you want to know that, I seen you shaking your head. Well, I know that that's the way I feel about it, and my responsibility as citizens of this county to make this operation run like any government organization ought to run. Our national is definitely not running that way, but this county can run that way. It has for years and years and years. So,
do we want to take a recess to let people think about it? I mean, I guess
that'd be good.
We're kind of at a stalemate, it seems like.
We'll take a recess,
or you want to keep on going?
Oh, I'd take a recess and get me a cup of coffee. And
okay,
take a little recess.
5 minutes for those listening.